Hi, welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. I'm Manish Verma, and if my FPL season so far were to be summed up in one image, a meme, if you will, it would be a still of Nathan Ake having a ball hit him in the face, then ending up in the goal. But the man booting the ball in my face, the Gabriel Martinelli in the situation, wheeling away in celebration, is Dr. Lumen Ahmed Ali.
Great deflection, by the way, there.
I'm deflecting from my whole FPL season here.
Have your feet touched the ground after that? Because...
You know what? I'm high on it, but, you know, I just have the... I should be overjoyous about the weekend, the 3 points, the way we went about shutting them out, which I am, all those things I am. The big problem for me in my head, I'm just a pessimist in this situation, is it was a deflected goal. Like, that's how we managed to beat them in the end, in the 85th, 86th
minute. Basically, you wanted to beat them with XG, right? That's what you wanted to do.
Exactly.
By the way, that's sarcasm, by the way.
Right. You're not a fan of the XG stats.
A win's a win, simple as that.
This is true. I should just take it as that. But I just want to be able to comprehensively beat... Maybe no one can.
Well, hold on a second. Let's take a step back, right? You got hammered last time round because you can't defend. You defended this time. Even if you didn't score that goal, you didn't concede.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things you need to look for. I think maybe this is behind your fantasy football travails as well. You just want the full pie, not just a little bit piece of it.
This is true. This is true. You know, I want it all and I'm not getting anything. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic here.
Well, I think you should take a few cues from me. So Sunday was my usual, you know, woke up too early because the kids woke up early, you know, did a few, you know, things to keep them quiet while there was cooking going on. I tuned into the Liverpool match and watched that. And then when the Liverpool match was on, I had lunch. So when the Arsenal match started, a combination of three things, waking up early, a big lunch, and the game being boring, I fell asleep. I slept through most of that game, and I woke up just in time
for the goal.
So honestly, timing, that's what I'm trying to say, is filter it all out.
Yeah.
And just stick to the good bits.
3 points is 3 points. You're right. And by the way, that sounds like a dream Sunday.
Not when you're looking after kids, honestly.
You managed to get a nap in the middle of the afternoon. That can't be bad.
No, nap is different because when it's this thing at home where if I fall asleep on the couch, no one disturbs me, including the kids. They just know.
Nice.
I'm sleeping. They don't do anything. Just leave me alone.
Right. Well, let's not leave alone our points for the week. I've quite a bit to talk about points from on my side because I played another of one of my chips reluctantly. But last week I said half my squad was pretty much out. I had three injuries, three suspensions. The injuries, I mean, Edouard, he actually became fit in the end. Saka was injured in the end. Estupiñan is out. I was in a bad way and I was really contemplating. I was really contemplating not doing a free hit, which is what I ended up doing. And I was going to just do a -4. Thank goodness I did a free hit because I calculated what I would have got. Oh my gosh, I would have got less than 20 points if I had stuck to it. I had ones. I mean, Pinnock would have got me some points at Brentford, but then they conceded two late ones at Man United. The front line didn't do anything. But thankfully, as I said, I did a free hit and I went quite bold with it, I think. And actually, I was a Fulham clean sheet away from it really paying off.
That was one of the highlights of my weekend when I saw Sheffield United score that goal. I'm not going to lie to you. But then it got a bit nervy because it went to VAR.
Did it go to VAR? I didn't notice that.
Oh, that was brilliant. Those 10, you know, 8 points wiped out for you. That was...
Mate, I had Leno in goal and I had Ream at the back, centre-back. And that was 12 points for me there. And I was thinking, Sheffield United, you're not. Fulham have been fairly good defensively, as I understand it. They're gonna shut out. And I was thinking, I'm finally gonna benefit points at the back. And that was a killer for me.
Ream didn't get the paper in for you, so
he did not bring in the paper at all. Not at all. He folded, my friend. He folded.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. But what I will say is, you're not the only one who made drastic changes.
Okay.
In my work league, there's one guy. His name's Will. His surname's Western, and his team name is Western Supermare, which is brilliant.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good.
So he's one of those who skyrocketed last few weeks to the extent that he's joint top with me now. Oh. But he played his wild card because he had six players out as well. So don't be too hard on yourself in that respect.
Just say that last bit again, Lumen. Sorry, he skyrocketed. You broke up quickly.
He skyrocketed, and then he played his wild card this week because he had six players out.
Yeah.
So don't be too hard on yourself. But let's look at your team.
So I did a respectable 54. The average was 44. And I got two clean sheets at the back. I had Anderson at Crystal Palace, Pedro Porro at Spurs, which I thought was more nailed on clean sheet than it actually was. They should have probably conceded. And then I had a sprinkling of points in my midfield. Madison got me 6. Salah was the big one, 15. He was the only player who I kept from my actually original squad. And then the reason I went bold is I got rid of Haaland, I got rid of Alvarez, and I randomly went for, I mean, Ollie Watkins isn't a random one, but I went for Calvert-Lewin.
I would, I would be mad as hell if Everton scored more than one goal at home for the first time in over a year. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin wasn't on the score sheet.
He scored three and he didn't score one of them. He didn't even get an assist. Just my luck, man. I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't in and around there. I looked at the highlights and actually he was doing bits. It just didn't go for him. And I actually had Tarkowski on the bench at 7 points. But I can't complain. As I said, I would have been complaining if Haaland had bagged a hat trick or Saka had done something, because I took them all out for this week. And 54, I'll take that, because it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot. And I'm looking at my side of my screen here, a lot of green arrows on my league. So I'm happy with that. It's not great
still. A bad
still.
Week for loads of people, because I think loads of people just decided, I'm just going to play half a team here, not going to do the free hit now.
Well, that's the problem. I took that hit, and I know there'll be a point in the season where there'll be a double game week and everyone will double, free hit and get, 15 players doubling up. And that's where I'm going to have fallen down. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Let's go to you, though. You beat me again. You beat me again. Let's have a look at yours. So 44 was the average, as I said. You got 56 points. First, tell us about the changes you made.
The change I made, and I said discussed this in last week's call. Normally, I'm very coy about my changes, but this time I was very candid because I know no one else is going to get him in. I know it was a case of I looked at the fixtures. I looked at Castagna. We had a nice, good home fixture, but then I saw, what the subsequent fixtures are. Same with Chelsea players. And then I saw Spurs and their run of games, and I thought, I could either go with everyone else and Udogie and Porro, or I could save some money and use that money elsewhere, which, is definitely happening. I've got loads of big plans coming up. Big plans.
Oi, oi, oi.
Big plans.
Wowza.
There's one player who's going to come into my team and transform it from a financial perspective. But that's a conversation for later. But
okay.
But Mickey van der Ven.
Oh, mate. You're making moves like the guys who win FPL right now. Every move you're making, not only a clean sheet, he gets a goal. By the way, nothing about his play so far this season suggests he should be anywhere near goals or assists. But the 1 week you put him in, goal. Clean sheet. 3 bonus points. 15!
I wish I was one of those guys that wins it, because I did something else which a true winner would not do. I bought Van de Ven in, but then I was mulling over whether to take Saka out and put Son in. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to pull the trigger, I switched captains from Salah to Son.
Oh!
So it would have been the 68-point week.
But you know what? You'd be forgiven for that. Luton, I captained Son as well. Luton away. Spurs, you know, have been very good so far this season. And Brighton, you know, I know they concede, but who would have thought a brace for Salah? Maybe it's always on the cards with Mo, isn't it? It's always on the cards.
What's interesting with my team is ordinarily I have points all over the team, but this week I only had 4 points from 4 players, but that was enough. So between Salah, Van de Ven, that was 30, and Saliba and Son, that was 13. That was 43 points between 4 players.
Yeah.
And
then you've got just twos, actually. Twos, Matoma, Alvarez, Haaland, Diaby, Bowen. Bowen, for 1 week, finally at home, he doesn't do something. I had him as well, by the way, and he didn't do anything. I was a bit surprised. Villa, I thought they could have got a result at Wolves, but
is that us underestimating how good Wolves are this season?
I think so. We're going to get into kind of our, who do we think our top four is going to be, our relegation and our surprise teams. And I fancy Wolves might feature in our surprise team category. But it is international break now. That means, no one likes international break. No one likes international breaks.
Honestly.
Unless you're maybe going to a game and then it's a bit of, it's kind of interesting. But I don't follow it at all. Do you follow any of the international games?
No, I don't. I mean,
the one way I should is just to check injuries. That's the only reason I really do. And even then, I don't pay attention too much to it. But yeah, international break gives us a moment to reflect, though. We're 8 game weeks in, but 8 games into the season as well. I thought maybe it's a good chance for us to think about and reflect on who's shaping up for a title challenge and that top four race, those Champions League spots. Although I heard the other day it could be 5 teams from England. Who is not looking great at the other end of the table? Who's at the relegation scrap, and who is surprising us? So I suppose it's a mix of what it's shaping up to be and what we're learning from the season so far. So let's go to the top of the table then. Top four. What are we thinking? How are we feeling?
I think straight off the bat, it's far too early to make too much of Man City's 2 defeats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always turn it on in the second half of the season. Every time they've won the league in recent years, they go on a mad 10-11 game week winning run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the advantage that they have over others.
Yeah.
I think the 2 big things to note about Man City is, firstly, even though they've lost twice, they're only 2 points off the top. And the reason why that's significant is because if you look at Liverpool, they've only lost 1 game, but they're a point behind Man City.
Yeah.
And the lesson from that is Man City have shown year in, year out that they don't draw many games.
Mm.
They win loads of games and they lose. They hardly draw games.
Yeah.
For them, draws are nothing. And that's where I think a lot of teams have to be careful, where they can't get the mentality of a draw is enough, because for Man City, it's not.
I read a couple of ominous quotes, and I hate it because it's a fear factor that Man City put into the opposition. And Pep said something like, "We know what we have to do," which I thought, oh, shoot. He's like poking the bear. This is post-Arsenal. And he said something like, "No one has won the league 4 times in a row." And I thought, oh, is he saying that to say what they, it's what they may or may not do, you know, is unheard of. Or it's saying, no, I'm setting a challenge down for my squad. and we're going to win it four times. Yeah. And I think it's that.
Yeah, the only chink of hope that the rivals have got is, Rodri was out, but ordinarily last season, you've got someone like Gundogan.
Yeah.
He's going to be a huge miss. De Bruyne has been a big miss so far. But I think if they can ride it out, and I think if they can see some improvement from enough players, watch out. But Man City, we know. I think what I've been telling you since day one about Liverpool, would you say that's about spot on? About, goals everywhere.
Goals everywhere, yeah. But, there's something...
And goals everywhere meaning conceding as well.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to score in a game. You're not going to get shut out often, if at all. But you are going to concede at the other end.
Which is going to be our downfall.
Yeah. You were playing Brighton, who we know are a good team. We know they've got a 6-1 defeat in them, but we know also they've got a blowing away another team in them as well. And you're playing at the Amex. And I think we've got to give Brighton a bit of credit here because they are a top, top team.
We do, except for the fact that this is not the first time, first half of a game, we've been absolutely obliterated.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not using those words lightly. Wolves, first half, they should have been out of sight. Even Brighton, they absolutely annihilated us. We couldn't get a sniff. But then we've just got that class in the likes of Szoboszlai and Salah that can just, make a moment and take it away. But over a season, it's unsustainable when you don't have a top quality number six. Our midfield's too attacking and you don't have, a top quality defender that can play regularly. So that's Liverpool. What I want to know is Arsenal, there's some diehard Arsenal fans who are delusional, in my opinion, who made out like, we didn't choke or bottle, whatever you want to use, last season. Man City were those two games, the West Ham game and the Southampton game, they were criminal, right? There's no way. That's if those two games are unforgivable, right? Yeah. Question is, what's changed from last season to this season that makes you think that you can win the league?
So a couple things, I think, if they go, and we're not even at that stage yet, but if we can keep fit William Saliba, there was a point in last season where we were down a William Saliba, and that is massive. I think he was superb against Erling Haaland.
It's interesting you say that, because Sky Sports, Jamie Carragher did a piece on this and he said that Arsenal fans, the point they made about Saliba is not true. If you look at the stats, what he showed was it was after the World Cup, results went down. And then when Saliba went injured, it went further down. But the actual trigger was after the World Cup.
Oh, okay. I've not seen that. But fair enough. That might be a case. Having him out of the team, we're a worse off team with him. Without him. So that's a big deal. Rice may push us closer to the City and makes us. And I think the big thing for the performance against City was that we are a bit more robust and we can be more controlling. We can play the game rather than just going out and just, we can manage it better. I hope that's the case. That control element is there. If we get that, I think what I loved about last season was the same thing I hated. We had enormous moments. Bournemouth 2-0 down, 3-2. Villa away, we score with the ball hitting the back of Emi Martinez's head and going in. But the underneath all that was, why were we getting into those positions in the first place, right? So I'm hoping this season, I want the rest of the season to be 1-0 wins. I don't care, right? That's what we need to get that title.
I've heard an Arsenal fan say to me recently that the reason why you won't win the title is because you don't have a top-class centre-forward.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And he got me thinking, Jesus, he's not going to take a sad song and make it better, Is he missing that many chances? I don't know.
The problem is he's never been prolific. He's never been prolific anywhere he goes. He can score goals, but he's never just, you can't bank on him scoring goals. So you have to bank on the rest, Saka, Odegaard and Martinelli. My worry was whether they can do it again. I think Saka's shown he can. Odegaard has been chipping in already, and yeah. Martinelli showed again he's a threat. So maybe we can get closer to Man City this season. I don't know. Maybe. I think I think it's us, the three that we've mentioned. I know you've discounted Liverpool. For me, as long as you've got Klopp, you've always got a chance. And I think you've sorted that midfield. And for me, you're a different beast than last season. Certainly.
I've always said the same thing, which is you can win the league without scoring many goals. But no team has ever won the league with a bad defence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Like,
does Liverpool have a bad defence?
We're conceding too many goals. That's what you'd consider a bad defence.
Fine.
Simple as that. So, you know, if we get top four, I'll be ecstatic. And the reason why it's frustrating is because we've got enough firepower in our team where if we just made those improvements defensively, then we could be challenging for the title. But let's see what happens in January. Liverpool have shown that they're not averse to making January signings.
Mm.
So that'll be interesting. What about Spurs, your North London rivals? Do you think they'll keep it going?
Well, you know, we talk about strong defences and they win you leagues. I'm just going to get the Premier League table up here because I keep hearing that Spurs, right, goals against Spurs, 8, Arsenal 6, Man City 6, Liverpool 9. So they're between us and you. Is that a good defence? Is that a bad defence? I don't know yet. But, you know, it's the second best in the league. Crystal Palace have only conceded 7. Goodness. Chelsea have only conceded 7.
Difference between Spurs and the other three teams that we mentioned is Europe.
Yeah.
They've got a full week to prepare for Ange Ball every week.
Yeah. Do you think they could be...
They won't challenge for the title, but they're definitely top four contenders. I think what Man City have done is completely changed the game when it comes to the title. Because what used to be a rarity, which is those crazy winning runs of like anywhere between 8 to 15 games, whatever. Sometimes they've done it twice in a season and it breaks the back of rivals.
Yeah.
They just can't keep up. So, Spurs are going to do...
Are they going to be Spurs? Is there a moment in the season where we're going to see classic Spurs come out and it's going to be they're going to lose at home, then it's going to follow on from another one? Is that going to happen? Or have they got a bit more resilience about them?
They've got more resilience, but the point is, you know, they're not going to win the league. But they're going to challenge for top four.
And I also think if you've got Richarlison in your team, who can't, he's just... I don't understand how he can do it for Brazil and be so bad for his club. I don't understand that. But yeah.
Son, I mean, feast or famine, and he was famine this week. Oh, God. But I had to put him in because everyone else has got him in. And if I go down, everyone else goes down. So that was my thinking. But, I mean, Man United.
Son has, though, you know, he has your threes, your twos, and then he blows you out with his 20 and 14. That's where you got to bank on, hopefully, for him, if you have him in your team, right?
Yeah. But Man United, they're like the boogie monster for me. They're so bad. They're such an awful team to watch. But they get these jammy results, and then they crawl back, and, you know, fantasy football-wise, it makes me more than happy for loads of people who've gone with Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford so far.
I started my season with Rashford. For this free hit, I put Bruno Fernandes because I thought, and I was going bold, wasn't I? I thought Brentford at home, and actually we need to talk about Brentford later, but I was thinking, Manu, you'll get a result here. And usually Bruno Fernandes will be in the conversation for a goal or assist. Nothing.
on the flip side, are you going to invest in Chelsea assets?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I started the season saying Chelsea would be in the top four. This is before a ball was kicked, right? But they've now, I mean, I say they've now won two on the bounce. It has been to Fulham and Burnley. Fulham, not bad. I mean, they've not been bad this season, but and away. So fairly good result. And 4-1 to Burnley away. And Burnley haven't been good this season. I don't know. They're not showing. I don't know who Chelsea are yet. And that's the thing. You know, an unanswered question. I don't know who Chelsea are yet. So, before these two, they only had one other win, and that was against Luton. They've drawn to Bournemouth. They've lost to Forest. They've lost to West Ham. Obviously, they drew to Liverpool. Like, who would... their form makes no sense to me at the minute.
So you're not swayed by Raheem Sterling efforts?
Sterling efforts... Well, the thing is with Raheem, he goes 2-2-2... And then, what, 17 or 19? Or
like
what,
Son.
Like Son. The thing is with Raheem, his price tag. It is appealing. Can you ride out those twos for that 19-20 week? Is it worth it?
His price tag is so good that even Jesse J would be happy. You know, it's so good. Like, he's, you can get him in comfortably, but that's the top six out of the way.
Do you see anyone else sneaking in there? I mean, we've not talked about Newcastle.
No, I mean, out of those top six, I think the top four have made a good start. Man United, Chelsea have not made good starts. And, you know, obviously Brighton, Villa and Newcastle, they've become like... three teams that most people are bunching together as very good teams who will challenge for top four. Yeah. And I think, you know, they've performed very well so far to get to where they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the challenge is going to come from them. And Man United and Chelsea, if they step it up. And that's your contenders, really, for the European spot. So that's, nine teams for top four, I'd say.
Yeah. And of that little bunch, who are you liking for who you I know like West Ham because of Jared Bowen, or you just like Jared Bowen, which is fair enough. His numbers have been incredible this season and consistent. You can bypass a 2-2 at home to Newcastle, who are a tough team, because he's been giving you numbers every other week pretty much. So yeah, West Ham, very good. And you know what? West Ham? What's his name? Kufal. Wingback. Guy's getting assists every week at the minute.
Yep. What about Suchek?
Suchek, has he been getting points as well? Not been noticing him.
Let's just have a quick look at this.
Yeah.
So, where are we? Where are we? Right. Points. So, it was 2-2.
Yeah.
This week. So, where are we? Okay, yeah, so Kufal,
Kufal, is it, how do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Kufal, Vladimir at the back for West Ham. He's got an assist in his last four games running. 5, wow. 12, 4 and 4. He's only 4.5 million. He's only 4.5 million.
That's crazy.
And it's not like they're chumps as well. He's assisted against Man City. He's assisted against Liverpool. He got one against Sheffield United. And now he's got one against Newcastle. Goodness me.
Suchek scored in the first game. Mm-hmm. Not, he got an assist in the first game. And in the last two games, he scored.
And he's 4.9 million. In midfield. There was a season, it wasn't last season, he flopped last season, but I think the season before, he was a threat. He was almost playing like a number nine, I remember. He's this tall, lanky striker, kind of, I don't know, false nine. I don't know what exactly he is, but he is a midfielder. And at 4.9 million, there are options to Jared Bowen, alternatives.
James Ward-Prowse.
James Ward-Prowse, of course. Did he get another, how did he do this week? No, he's... Yeah, he went on that run of assists and then he hasn't assisted for a good three games now. So yeah. But he's still worth it. 6.3. Not bad.
What about Alexander Isak? Are you tempted?
Oh, I'm very tempted. So I'm now very tempted to switch up my front line a little bit. Before it was, I'm having Haaland and Alvarez and then one other. I'm very interested now that Watkins is getting on the score sheet. Isak looks like he's getting all the minutes as opposed to sharing them with Callum Wilson now. I don't know what's happened to Callum Wilson. Has he been injured? What's going on there? He's a goal scorer. I don't understand. But I'm very interested in a Haaland, Watkins, Isak sort of combination. Yeah, I really like that.
That would be tasty if you could afford it.
If you can afford it. And the thing is, it is tasty because there are some very cheap midfielders who I've got my eye on, Lumen. I've got my eye on some very affordable midfielders, which I'll get onto.
I think that leads us nicely into formation for this season. Because what's been your preferred formation? Because I think the majority of people have chosen 3-5-2 this season because of the midfield.
Yeah, I think that's where I've kind of flopped a little bit because I'm a big fan of 3-4-3 because I just think three strikers, they're the most likely to get you a goal, get them on the pitch.
Yeah,
this season I've adapted late to a 3-5-2.
So what you were just mentioning there about Isak, Watkins and Haaland, the decision has to be made. Do you put a budget midfielder in or do you put a budget striker in?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big decision for you to make who you think is going to get you the points.
Thing is, I don't think the budget strikers, I don't think, are doing it now. Like, there was a point where Edouard was doing something, Wissa at Brentford was doing something. The Forest striker, Awoniyi, was doing something. Dominic Solanke maybe even doing bits, but they're just not putting any numbers up for me. So now it is getting to that. It's shaping up a bit. I'm looking at the top forwards at the minute. Watkins, you know, 8th plus million. Haaland, 14. Alvarez is still a budget at 7. Isak's at 7.5. So I'm getting to that next bracket, and I'd prefer to do that and then bring in a budget midfielder, which I've got a few.
So, I mean, you're going to be picking the budget midfielders from some of the surprise teams, right?
Yes. So let's get on to the surprise. Who surprised you this season?
Fulham,
go on.
I thought that, you know, with the unrest over Marco Silva, you know, he was, you know, on the verge of being tempted by the silver on offer in Saudi Arabia.
He was. A lot of silver on offer there.
Lots of silver. But I thought that would have an impact, but it hasn't. And, you know, Leno has shown that, you know, it's not all talk. you know, he's stepped it up with the amount of clean sheets. And I've been tempted to get him in, but the price... There's not that one goalkeeper that you can just put in and say, you know what, I'm happy to leave you in. Last season it was Pope. You picked Pope and you just put him in.
Yeah.
Or in previous seasons when Man City and Liverpool were keeping clean sheets for fun, you spent that bit extra for that security and you got your second goalkeeper, someone who's worth like less than 4 million and never plays.
Yeah.
It's not happening this year. Like, there's not that one guy who's... you know, they go hot. There's someone like Sam Johnston for Crystal Palace. Mm. You look at his stats. They haven't kept a clean sheet and then he keeps 3 clean sheets in a row.
Yeah.
It's just so maddening. Like, who do you rely on? So, yeah, Fulham have been a surprise. Wolves have been a surprise as well. Just how quickly Gary O'Neill has got them playing.
I really like Gary O'Neill. I've said it before. I rate him. What he did with Bournemouth to rescue them last season, and they were playing some good stuff. I rate Gary O'Neill. He should have kept the job. They should have kept him. I don't know why they got rid of him.
And now they're suffering because Bournemouth haven't won a game.
Absolutely.
All Wolves are lacking is a goal scorer. That's all they're lacking.
Yeah, well, I saw the highlights again. What was it? The Man City game. And they kind of play with those front three just breaking on you. By the way, so Neto, I'm a big fan of. But is it Hwang? Is it Hwang?
Is that Korean guy?
That Korean guy. Oh, dear. I shouldn't have said that. He-Chan Huang, or Huang He-Chan, whose numbers are tasty on FPL, by the way. He, at the start of the season, he wasn't even playing many minutes. 27 minutes, 35. He wasn't getting half of football. And then, for the last, what, four games, he's played, well, apart from 145 minutes against a draw against Luton, he's played against Villa most of the game, Man City most of the game, Liverpool almost two-thirds of the game, just short of that 60-minute mark. But he's been getting points. He's been getting goals. He's got five goals this season.
More goals this season already than last season.
Wow. Wow.
Huang He proving that he's the man.
He is the man. He is the man. And then you've got the other one is Cunha, who I've seen live, and you've seen it. You're not having him because he's a bit, I think.
No, he approach play great, but no end product.
So, no end product.
So,
yeah.
So that's the issue. Yeah. Very similar to Traore.
Yeah, yeah. So they got just another less muscly, less oily version.
Yeah. that's about right. Yeah. Just
but Neto, by the way, another assist now. He is on for one goal and six assists this season, and he's 5.7 million. He's one of my budget midfielders who I'm tinkering, really, really considering. There's one even cheaper than him I'll get onto in a minute. But yeah, for me, Wolves could be a surprise this season. Fulham for you. It's interesting you mentioned Fulham. I was just looking at the Premier League table. They just can't score goals. They've only scored 8 goals so far. They have conceded 13, which sounds on the high end of things, but they've, I think, conceded them in certain games. They've got 3 clean sheets so far this season. So, yeah, a bit hit or miss, but you can maybe rely on them for a defender or a goalkeeper, depending on the fixture, I think.
Surprise teams for you.
Surprise teams for me. Yeah, I'd say Wolves. Spurs have surprised me. I hate to say it. Spurs have surprised me. Maybe Madison has surprised me. Maybe he shouldn't have. We're from Leicester. We know how many Leicester City fans, friends that we have, they rate him highly. And it probably made sense for him to step up and naturally just fit in. And I think he's been excellent for them this season. It depends on what Son does. I think going forward, Kulusevski seems to be coming back into that form where he, remember when he signed, he was getting points every week. And I think defensively, they might be a bit more rigid and structured, and actually goalkeeper as well. We shouldn't forget, Lloris was, for me, really having howlers at Spurs, and Vicario's come in and it's like, of course he should be number one. Why was Lloris even there in the first place, sort of thing?
So
Spurs have surprised me. West Ham have surprised me, but we've mentioned them as well at Bowen. I do worry, apart from Bowen, where their goals are going to come from, because I don't think Antonio, as much as I do like him for all of his other work, just in front of goal, I just don't know. Maybe shut out teams? Maybe they can. And Villa, you know, terrible first game of the season, but since then, not bad at all, Aston Villa. But what about at the foot of the table, at the end that no one wants to be, that relegation scrap? Is it a scrap or is it just...
No, I think you know, Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton are all going down. I just think that, you know, Luton, they're all... I think you know, Sheffield United don't have the goals. Luton, both ends of the pitch. And Burnley, just their naivety. Burnley have got the best shot to stay up, right?
Mm.
And
do you think they've got to change their ways?
They have to change their ways. And if they don't, then they're going to go down. But
I don't know if Vincent Kompany has that Sean Dyche in him.
It's not even the Sean Dyche. It's just that bit of pragmatism, you know, where you just shore it up.
Yeah.
You shore it up. A lot of people think shoring up is about packing the defense. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Pack the midfield with guys who just run all day. Shield that back four.
Yeah.
Shield that back four, and then you can still play that game where the back four can play the ball out and, you know, the attackers can do their thing. But it's that added protection. Yeah. It's that safety blanket.
Yeah. We've not mentioned, you didn't mention in there, Bournemouth, who are 19th at the minute. You kind of skip them out. There's four bad teams at the minute. One of them, there can only be three. So by default, one of them will escape and Everton will escape. And Everton, have they got enough players there to actually get good again? We mentioned Calvert-Lewin. He is key to them to score goals. But they've got good. Doucouré is a top player. He's got points this weekend. Jack Harrison, I didn't know they even signed him from Leeds, who we know can score goals.
I think with the two teams you mentioned, I think Everton are bad, but they're worse. They're lucky because there's worse teams.
Yeah.
And with Bournemouth, I think Solanke is a big player.
You think Solanke, he's good enough to get them?
That, I mean, he's got goal. He's got goals in him. And I think over the course of a season, he'll get him out of trouble.
Is he worth a punt for a cheap striker option?
100%.
Really? Okay.
100%. Except, you know, there's someone I've got my eye on from one of those teams. When I bring him in, it's just going to open up loads of options for me financially.
Are you going to divulge that information, Lumen?
What do you think? Do you think it'd be good if I divulged it now, or do you think it'd be better for it to happen and then we have a reaction then?
Yeah, maybe do that then. That's terrible. We're going to be, that's horrible for the listener. They'll be keen to know. I'm keen to know who it is. Did you mention it was one of them teams?
I did.
Okay. All right. Well, so we mentioned there Luton, Burnley, Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Everton.
I'll give you a clue.
Go on.
He's sugar.
Oh, Burnley's Lausch. Is it Lausch? Is that his name? Is that right? I'm going to have to look up his name now. Terrible. Hold on. Where is he? No, have I got it wrong? Lyle Foster.
Do you want to check out his stats?
Ben, why was I saying, what's the sugar reference? Is there a brand of sugar called Foster?
No, Tate and Lyle.
Tate and Lyle. How did I mess that one up? Okay. Lyle Foster at Burnley, of course. Let's have a look at his numbers. So he's missed two games. And otherwise, he has scored three and got two assists. And he's scored against Chelsea. Sorry, he assisted against Chelsea. He scored against Luton. He scored against Tottenham. He scored against Aston Villa. And he is, what, £5 million? You're liking, that is sweet. That is sweet. Why are you liking, apart from his numbers, have you watched much of him?
No.
You just like his numbers.
I just like his numbers. And sometimes it's, if you've got a player in there.
Yeah.
What it is he is going to open up my midfield for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because my midfield's good at the moment, but I want to really fulfill all my dreams with the midfield.
Yeah, I think that's going to save you. So who would you take out? Who have you got in your team that you is the natural one to take out? Let's have a look. You've got Alvarez, Haaland and Ferguson. So if you drop Ferguson, which you'd be, 59
saving
minutes.
Saving a million right there.
You'd be save a million, and then you've got a million to spend. You'd take out. The tricky thing for you maybe is, oh no, you've got Son in at the minute. So that's 9 million. If you took him out, you've got 10 million to spend. Or you could take out Matoma, and you've got 7.5 million to spend there. Diaby, you're not going to take out Bowen for sure, and you're not going to take out Salah. It's that middle three, Matoma, Son or Diaby up for the chopping block. But you're right, it could open up a whole world of options for you. That's really interesting. So Lyle Foster. But that means you must rate Burnley enough that he's going to get something.
He's not there to play week in, week out.
Fine. Home games, bottom of the table clashes, you're having him in.
If he plays those games and scores a goal and he starts for me, I'll be sweeted.
Yeah. That sweetie.
I'll be sweeted.
You know what we've not mentioned before that last feature I want to do? What we haven't mentioned is captains. Haaland again has blanked. Last week we were talking about captaining different players. And now I think it's going to get really interesting at fantasy because let's face it, the first seven games, everyone's captaining Haaland. Now it's free for all. You could go a Son, you could go a Salah, you could go a Saka. You could maybe even go like a Madison or an Odegaard, really, or a Watkins up front, Isak maybe. That, I think, is going to be really interesting when we come back from international.
Yeah, play. I mean, what would the theory behind that is interesting because the whole reason why people, you know, captain Haaland partly is because they're scared of missing out in case someone else. But now that he's not performing,
fear of missing out, the FOMO.
Yeah, it is the FOMO, which I've mentioned previously. And I think with other players, they're options now. But Haaland is home for the next game against Brighton.
Oh, really? Yes, yes. And then they've got Man United away. And you know he wouldn't mind banging few against them. And then Bournemouth at home. Oh, gosh, we're all captaining Haaland again. Right. This is, of course, the FPL George Michael crossover podcast that no one really asked for. No one really even thought that this could be a thing. But it's a thing now. And in the spirit of running with the George Michael theme, this next feature is called I'm Your Man. I'm going to put two players to you, Lumen, and I want you to tell me who you're having in your team. Who is your man? All right, ready? The first one, Watkins versus Isak.
Oh, that is a tough one. But I'm going to go for Watkins purely because on the run of games.
Fine.
And also because the Wilson factor. I've still got PTSD from last season. You know, I was riding high and I was going to launch an assault on the very upper echelons of fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I put Isak in and he gets dropped for Wilson and Wilson goes on a tear. And you almost overtook me because of that one thing. And
I remember you sending me the gif of Tom Hanks in Castaway with the ball, Wilson.
Yeah, because in the end I had to get him, and that was when his form trailed off. But I was all right then because we both tailed off,
neutralized.
But PTSD, proper PTSD. Watkins all the way.
Next one, Calvert-Lewin versus Nicholas Jackson.
Definitely Jackson.
We were killing him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we were, but this is more a reflection of Calvert-Lewin than Nicholas Jackson. Calvert-Lewin's had so many injuries over the past year or so. He just, you know, you just have to question whether he'll ever get back to what he was. So there's more question marks over Calvert-Lewin than Jackson, but neither of them are convincing.
Okay. Son versus Madison.
Ooh.
I'm going, that question is really feast or famine or consistently lowish points.
I'd go for Madison purely based on price, but then I've got Son in my team, so
and also there's a big price issue there. Next one, I don't know how to say his name, Soufal or Koufal, we've already mentioned him, versus Trippier.
Oh, Soufal. Trippier's just too bloody expensive.
Man's putting points up now, isn't he?
He is, and ordinarily I would say, you know, Trippier and Trent are no-brainers, you know. Those guys, they get assists regularly, but I need a larger sample size from Trippier.
Fine. Last one, Pedro Neto, Marcus Rashford.
Oh, Neto. because Rashford hasn't shown the form yet, Neto's got the form and the price factor as well.
Is there a turn in form for United? Are they going to turn this round? Is the Scott McTominay, the great Scott, has he galvanised Old Trafford?
What, the question is, would you put your mortgage on Man United and Chelsea, those two teams, to get a run of games together?
Nope.
There's your answer.
And on that note, that was I'm Your Man. I think I like this regular George Michael theme feature. Last week, what was it? Oh, we're doing Dear Doctor. We're not doing Dear Doctor this week with it, because actually it was about what is your favorite FPL formation. So we won't do that this week. We've already talked about it. But that's us for another different, a different corner podcast. Thank you very much, Lumen.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.